your precious, precious name, let it be. Amen. Well, freedom. It's 4th of July weekend. It's what we're talking about these days. You turn on the TV, and that's all there is on the TV, it seems. All around the community, we're talking about freedom. Freedom. It's a buzzword of sorts. You listen to anywhere you go, and that's what they're about. That's the chatter. It's rights, it's liberty, it's freedom. And, of course, being the 4th of July, that's what we're supposed to talk about, right? Supposed to talk about freedom. And we celebrate the signing of the Declaration of Independence, right? Freedom is the big topic. But freedom is a topic that doesn't sort of stay put. It's changing like so many other things in our world. With the climate of violence in our country, we've given up a whole lot of freedoms, a lot of personal freedoms, for the cause of security, right? Of course, you know, some of those things we've given up are for the good, and some of them not so good. With the rise of intolerance and wokeness in our country, we've in many venues lost our freedom to even express our thoughts. Civil speech, dialogue, maybe, but most often not. With vocal circles in our society now advocating for more and more government do this, government do that, we've lost more and more of our personal freedom to live our life. With a growing environment of hypersensitivity and cultural confusion, we walk around on eggshells, not knowing which pronoun to use or not wanting to offend, you know, that wrong person with saying something about the wrong gender, not even knowing, even wearing a wrong hat or a wrong t-shirt. Let me ask you, are we really free? Freedom, as Webster would define it, is the absence of necessity, coercion, or constraint in choice or action. Liberation from slavery, it says, or restraint from the power of another. Oh, make no mistake about it. In our political life, we're losing freedoms every day. In our social life, we're losing freedoms every day. And some we're giving away, and some are being taken away. And of course, it's always for the common good, right? The same thing happens in our spiritual life as well. And for that, we can't really blame Congress. We can't really blame the president or the crazies of our culture. You know, it's almost impossible to find any show on TV these days that isn't espousing a view that's contrary to biblical teaching. Try that. And yet, though, we watch. We watch. We tell ourselves, well, we can filter out the junk. I'm guilty of that. But in reality, what's happening is we're being tainted. We're being compromised in our mind, little by little, giving up our walk with God for a moment of mindless pleasure or social approval. And the Bible has a lot to say about freedom. I was looking at this message this morning and working on it a little bit, and I was reading Exodus about the setting free of the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. And God told Moses to go to Pharaoh. And before he went the first time, Moses told the Israelites what God had told him to do. And the Bible says in Exodus 4, it says, quote, they bowed down and worshiped these Israelites. They were all for it. Sold. We're there. 100%. But then, and we know what happened. Time and time again, Moses would go to Pharaoh and he would tell him exactly what God wanted him to do and let my people go. And each time, Pharaoh would reject God's message and retaliate with harsher and harsher treatment on the Israelites. And what did the Israelites do? They blamed God. They blamed Moses and Aaron. They weren't happy about it at all. And finally, after a series of plagues and signs from God, Pharaoh relented. He relented. He released God's people from slavery in Egypt. He gave them their freedom. Now, one would think, just at least a little bit, with such a tremendous outpouring of God's power, of God's care for his people, that the people of Israel be all over themselves, praising God and thanking God, worshiping God, that their faith would be renewed and indeed unshakable because they had experienced God in a mighty, mighty way. They had been set free. They all marched out of Egypt. They come to the Red Sea. They noticed Pharaoh and the Egyptian army in the dust following them. Almost automatically, they once again cried out against Moses and God. They said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in this wilderness? What have you, Moses, done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone." Now, did they say that? No. You go back and you read. They were all for it. They bowed down in worship. Now they're saying, "Leave us alone that we might serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." You know, you like to hope that this might have been an isolated incident. And we could look back and we could say those crazy Israelites back there, they all got caught up in the moment. And, you know, their weak flesh just came through. So overcome that they were ready to give up their freedom and go back to slavery. But it really isn't so isolated, is it? Even after their miraculous deliverance from the Red Sea, the destruction of their enemy, drowned right there, they still struggled to believe when they were thirsty, then again when they were hungry, you know, when they saw or heard about the inhabitants of the Promised Land, you know. The Promised Land was inhabited by those giants, remember? Oh, each time. They're ready to give it up, sell out their freedom for bondage. Kind of makes you want to shake them, doesn't it? What's wrong with you guys? You know, and it's always easy to, you guys, you know, shake them. How crazy can you be? What's wrong with you? And that was exactly Paul's sentiment when he wrote to the Galatians. Centuries later, he says to these believers now, these God's chosen in Galatia. "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" What? "After beginning with the Spirit, you're now trying to attain your goal by human effort," he says. The specific issue of what Paul was addressing was that there were some among them who got in their mind that in order to be a follower of Christ, in the new covenant of grace, you must first be circumcised in the old covenant of works. Well, they were willing to give up their freedom in Christ for the comfortable, acceptable, politically correct notion of their day. Wow. Wow. Oh, we see this in the church all the time, though. Think about it. Certain dress codes. Oh, have to be this or you have to be that. That went simply beyond being modest or decent. Certain types of behavior that went way beyond simply being polite or respectable. Don't get me wrong, you know, I'm all for dressing politely. I'm all for, you know, acting, saying. That's not what we're talking about. But freedom in Christ to truly be all that God has called and wants us to be doesn't come through laws and regulations. We come at the invitation of the one who loved us so much that he paid the ultimate price for our sin. And Paul said in Romans 8, through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. Or as in our text this morning, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Let me share with you some of the insights from this passage that I think God wants us to hear. And one is that freedom is a privilege, not a right. Freedom is a privilege, not a right. Paul said, for freedom, Christ has set us free. And then again in 5:13, just a few verses down, he says, you, my brothers, were called to be free. Called. You're called to freedom. Invited. In other words, it's a privilege. It's something that you're given. It's not an earned right. We didn't, nor can we ever, set ourselves free. Freedom isn't a state we simply create. It isn't something we conjure up. It's a gift. It's a gift. A state of grace that we're allowed to share and enjoy. Well, we often get that confused when you read the Declaration of Independence and it says they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Oh, there's that word again. It jumps off the page. Rights. That's it. And we demand rights, right? At least we think we can, because rights belong to us. Rights belong to us. We've earned them. That's how we understand in the world you and I live in today. We're entitled. We're entitled. In our way of thinking, a right can be denied. But it's always our right, no matter what. On the other hand, privilege is a gift. A privilege is a gift with the distinct recognition that we did not earn it. Endowed, that's that word. Given, that's what it means. Given by our Creator. It's a gift. With the clear recognition, though, that it's fragile and it must be cherished and it must be protected, it must be nurtured. It can be lost. It's a gift. We are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable privileges, maybe is a better word put in there. Although we don't like the word privilege in our vocabulary, it's one of those words we talked about. And among those privileges, our life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Freedom is a privilege, not an earned right. It's a gift of God, bought and paid for by Jesus Christ. For freedom, he says, Christ has set you free. He didn't set yourself free. Christ has set you free. And he called you and me to that freedom. He invited us to that freedom, to take hold of it and to live it in the grace and glory of God. Freedom is a privilege. It's not an earned right. Look at what else Paul says. He says, holding on to freedom, though, is hard work. In other words, in the last part of verse 1, stand firm. Hold fast, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. We've all been called out of slavery, every one of us. We came out of darkness into light. We've come out of our Egypt into the promised land. And what Paul's saying, stand firm. Don't go back. Now, we're going to vacillate. We are. That's the corruption of our heart. Stand firm. Christ has set you free, but we have to hold on to it. We have to resist. We have to resist the temptations. We have to resist the cultural motives that want to take us down a different path. We have to resist the social pressures that want us to conform to the world rather than to the Word of God and to Jesus Christ. Don't go back into slavery. The image is one of one standing and sort of leaning into the wind, trying to blow us off our feet, but no, we're bracing against it. You and I, we have a responsibility as individuals and as a church even in our freedom. We have a choice. We have a choice. Are we going to be open and allow the Spirit to move among us and within us? Are we going to be closed? Do we have our own system of how God does things and how God doesn't do things? It's not easy. Not always. But we have a responsibility. And it's hard work. It's difficult work. It's challenging work. Believe me, there are lots of subtle and not so subtle endeavors trying to push us back into slavery, trying to keep us from being the people of God and the church of God that we want to be, that He's calling us to be. We have to be strong enough to resist and to stand firm and to seek His face alone. We have to be wise enough to make right choices. So how do we get strong enough to stand? Paul gives us the example in Ephesians 6 where he says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. And then he goes on and he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. That last part of chapter 6 is pretty well there. It tells us how. So how do we get wise enough to make right choices? Well, there's no other true wisdom apart from God's Word. That's how you get wise. It's there. You seek His Word, and you seek to be taught by His Spirit, and you will know His truth. Jesus says in John 8, if you hold to my teaching, and you are really my disciples, there's two ifs there, then you will know the truth. You'll know it. And the truth will set you free. The danger is when we don't trust the giver or the gift. When we aren't willing or we become so distracted or so apathetic to stand apart in the power of God's Holy Spirit or to seek only the wisdom and direction of His Word. Paul has some very harsh words for those in Galatia who sacrificed their freedom on the altar of political correctness or persecuted teachings. He told them in verse 2 of chapter 5 that Christ will be of no advantage to you. NIV says no value. That's a pretty hard word. And again in 5:4, you are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. Now I can hear a whole lot of you talking about that already. I'm just reading the word, you know. I'm not trying to. I didn't say it. But grace and religious righteousness, legal righteousness, the kind we conjure up in the law, in our rules, in our regulations, in our this is how we do it kind of stuff, those things can't coexist very well. They really can't. Anyone who seeks to justify himself before God through those laws and regulations and rules is by that act rejecting what Christ has already done in fulfilling the law by His sacrifice on the cross. You see that? Your freedom, my freedom in Christ cannot be achieved by mixing up a little of this and a little of that, a little law and a little grace. It can only be received by grace alone. You heard that word before, haven't you? Grace alone. Freedom is a privilege. It's not a right. And holding on to freedom is harder than you think. It's hard work. Let me give you another thought. Freedom is a pathway and not the destination. We hear a lot of talk these days as if our freedom was the ultimate goal. No. Reality is that our ultimate goal should be much bigger than just being free. I mean, we act like that's it, but that's not it. Listen to what Paul says to the Galatians in 5:6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. In other words, either side of the debate counts for nothing. It isn't to get us all circumcised. It isn't to get us all uncircumcised. And that was not that. That's an issue, but that's not the goal. It is not the goal. Those were the gist of what was going on amongst the Galatians. But Paul is saying that in and of themselves, neither one of those were essential for salvation, right? That's what I like about, you know, the denomination that we're connected with. As imperfect as it is, and it's definitely imperfect. Talking about the issues that have been so elevated in importance for the Galatians that to become barriers to their relationship with one another and with God. They weren't doing God's work when they're fighting over circumcision or uncircumcision, when they're trying to figure out how to obey the rules that they have created for themselves, in a sense. God didn't say those rules. God didn't give those rules. God didn't say this is how we do this and this is how the world ought to be done. Because, no. The only thing that counts, the sole reason for us being free, is only faith, as Jesus said, as Paul said, working through love, right there in verse 6. Only faith working through love. We should never forget why we are free. We should never forget why we live in this country with all of its political and religious freedoms, even though some are not here, many are still here. And why are we still allowed to have them? Why we have received the grace of God to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior? Why? Why you? Why me? Why not those folks out there who don't know him, who wouldn't darken the door of a church for any reason? Why? You see, the Israelites were set free from Egypt for a reason, for a purpose. Christ died on the cross for a purpose, for you and me. And it wasn't just so we could do whatever we want to do. It wasn't so that we could just have the good life. And just, you know, everything's ours and, you know, the world is our little peach. That wasn't the reason Christ died. And oh yes, he lavishes good things on us. He does it all the time. And sometimes you might feel a little guilty about how good you've had it. You know, even if you've had struggles, we've all had some struggles. But he lavishes his goodness and his blessings upon us so that we can reflect him to the world around us. It enables us to be a part of the kingdom work that he's called us to do. Just as those Israelites were set free for a reason, our lives are set free for a reason too. In Exodus, God kept saying over and over again about those Israelites. He said, look, and you can look at it. so that they will know that I am God. Over and over again, it's throughout the book. That's why they're free. That's why they're out there wandering around. That's why things are happening. That's why God was conquering their enemies. That's why God was providing for them, so that they will know that I am God. Paul says so that faith is working through love, so that they will see your faith, my faith, working through love. Freedom is a pathway. It's not the goal. And if all we want to do is achieve freedom, then we're missing the point. We're stopping way before the finish line. You know, the center of the terminal at the Denver airport, if you've ever been there, it's a huge, monstrous, the new Denver airport, new, not so new these days, but it's the newest one. Huge, humongous. In the whole center of it, it has sort of a balcony that goes all the way around it, and you enter in on the balcony level. And then down in there is all this center part. And it's now one huge security checkpoint. It didn't used to be that way. And then comes 9/11. Changed a lot of things. A lot of fear, a bunch of laws. And now you stand in the labyrinth of lines like cattle. And it's so obvious when you're up on the balcony looking down, practically stripped to make sure you don't set off the metal detectors. Take off your shoes, of course. Take out your laptop. You know, get all your little goodies in one quart bag. Not two, one quart bag, you know. And dump your water bottle, of course. You can't have any of that. And last, most important part, be happy about it. Be happy, or at least look like you're happy, or you're going to call attention to somebody who may want to take you aside for further questioning. I remember looking at all those people, which I've been one, all standing there barefoot, holding their little baggie, pulling on their carry bag, taking those last gulps of water. And I thought, how much freedom we have given away. And we've really given away a pile. In the name of security. Because of fear. That maybe is the biggest problem right there. Because of fear. Some founded, but probably most not. And then, lo and behold, here comes COVID-19. Oh, how lovely is that? You think Satan isn't alive and well on planet Earth? Well, let me tell you again. So many of our freedoms lost. We'll never see again, not in our lifetime. Lost again to what? Fear. Fear. Lost to political greed, some of it. Lost to misinformation, other parts of it. I want to shout with Paul, who has bewitched us? Who has bewitched us? I recently picked up an article about walking holy before God, about keeping your minds and your hearts pure and free from the contaminating voices of our world and the vices of our world. And in the article, they said that more money is spent each year on pornography in the USA than on alcohol, cigarettes, illicit drugs combined. Combined. More money is spent on pornography in our country than alcohol, cigarettes, and drugs, illicit drugs, combined. That was shocking to me. Maybe it doesn't shock you, but it shocked me. And I just thought, what an astounding world we have created for our children and grandchildren, for ourselves to grow up in. I think of how we have squandered our freedom for temporary pleasures and eternal consequences, for sure. Who has bewitched us? Indeed, who? on this Independence Sunday, when we're thinking about freedom, when it's all around us, and we're reflecting, both political and spiritual, let's be mindful of the huge cost of freedom. We're not maybe aware of it right now, what it's going to cost down the road for those that come after us. Huge cost of freedom, a cost you and I didn't initially pay. Jesus paid it. Jesus paid it. He paid it all. Let's realize that freedom is a gift. It's a gift. It's a privilege. A privilege. That holding on to freedom takes hard and vigilant work. And that's the cost. But freedom is not a destination. Oh, no. It's rather simply a pathway for faith to express itself in love. We are, you and I, endowed by our Creator with freedom. But it isn't so we can do anything we want to do. It isn't so we can live the good life. It's purely and solely because we can live lives in this world that honor and glorify our God. Lives that will bless ourselves, indeed. Lives that will bless others. Lives will express themselves in the agape, sacrificial love of Christ. For that freedom, Christ has set us free. Celebrate it. Celebrate that Independence Day. Let's pray together.